Welcome, everyone, to Time for the Soul, the podcast where we talk about life, the universe, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have here in studio with me, Ruth.
Hello.
Unfortunately, Liana could not make it today, but I have two very special guests with us. I have Elizabeth and Joshua Kaminsky. Welcome, guys.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello.
We're so excited to have you guys on the show. This is, I think, the first relationship episode we're going to do for season three. And we're really excited about this particular subject that we're going to talk about today. But before we dive into that, I'd love for you guys to introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit more about who you are, and yeah, let's have the audience get to know you.
Yeah, so this is my beautiful wife to my side here. We call ourselves the Cashmere Couple. My name is Joshua Kaminsky, and of course, my wife. So super thankful to be with you and being able to share our story and pray that it's of some benefit, some edification to anyone listening here.
Yeah, so I guess a little introduction of who we are. We are, I guess you could say, a millennial couple that got to know each other and married later in life. So we know what it was like to date before, let's say, smartphones. Mm. We did the T9 textings. We know what it was like to date when you actually had to approach someone. And then when social media arrived, and now the new age of apps and online dating. So I guess we've done it all.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with millennials as well, is we're the last generation that will have experienced the before and after of social media, of texting, of basically the internet, all of the, you know, the smartphones, that type of technology. So it's pretty unique, the perspective that our generation has. So I think it's, you know, obviously every generation has different perspective, and they look frequently back at the other generations and say things like, oh, those young, you know, people, they don't. But I think it's interesting as well to just kind of own what your generation is and just say like, yeah, we are this stereotype, very true, but we're also this. But yeah, I think for us, a lot of time as well, I wanted to enter in being single. So we've known what it's like to date, and we've known what it's like to have this idealism. A lot of the, you know, Joshua Harris, God rest his soul, RIP. Remember when he used to follow the Lord? But anyways, we know what it's like to be able to have that, I guess, dating goodbye and to have that, you know, purity culture, and to have some of the good and some of the bad, the quote unquote toxic part of it. And then the very good part of it too. And I think that a lot of times it's more nuanced than what we'll admit. And we want to try to have a perspective that's linear and consistent. And so we'll kind of say like, oh, the purity culture was bad. Like, look how terrible it was to, you know, specifically women, I think is what Elizabeth and I have heard, with the fact that they would criticize and chastise women for what they were wearing and how they were provocative and evoking the attention of men, rather than putting more ownership into men to be more restrained. But anyways, I think that the opportunity we have to be able to share with some of the people here is a very multifaceted life. So yeah, I think, I don't know how much we're going to get into, so we'll see.
Well, I mean, off the bat, I love the purity culture conversation. We touched on it a little bit in the women's panel discussion that we did last year. I think it was at the end of the episode. So for context, can you guys tell us, what was Ika's dating goodbye? You know, what did Joshua Harris do for a whole generation of millennials? How did that affect dating culture? And I don't know, how did you guys personally, did you feel like that affected you guys at all growing up?
Well, I think, so it was I Kissed Dating Goodbye and When God Writes Your Love Story. Those are the two simultaneous books that we all read.
We all read.
And we worshiped. And I think what was very difficult and what was not okay, and of course you have to kind of do things in a balance, but growing up, you know, let's say going into college, and you still had kind of a fear of, oh my goodness, I can't allow this guy know that I like him. I can't be flirty or friendly or whatever, because that will mean I am an easy girl, which is not the case. I mean, guys need to have a hint that you're interested. And we as women, I mean, I didn't know how to give that. So to talk a little bit about my dating history, Until I moved to, so I moved to Romania, mm-hmm. like another thing. So I was born and raised here in the U.S. I am Romanian, grew up in the Romanian subculture. And after college, I moved to Romania for 9 years. I didn't really date while I was here mm-hmm. pre-Romania. I didn't date because, one, I was very self-conscious, but I knew how to be friends with guys. I had so much fun with guys, and I just thought myself as their little sister. I had no idea if a guy was interested in me, and it didn't help that the guy wouldn't really show that if they are interested or not. I've noticed this after moving to Romania is that at least Romanian Americans, the men tend not to really display, they don't make much of an effort if they are interested mm-hmm. in a girl. Romanian guys from Romania are very bold. And that was a huge culture shock for me. So my dating life didn't start until I moved to Romania. So I think that's why with the purity culture, it was, I was very, very shy, just afraid of showing if I am interested in someone. And I'm reiterating, a guy, and Joshua, I think you can back me up on this. If you have no idea if a girl likes you, majority of guys don't really pursue then. And I think at least in the Romanian subculture, it's the same thing too.
How would a girl show a guy that she's interested? Or how would a guy pick up on it?
I think by looking at him and batting her eyes. No.
Now it's easier. Now it's easier because a lot of girls are getting those extensions. Yeah. So, I mean, if they're just blinking at you, you're thinking that she's coming on to you.
They have like the little bird's nests on top of their eyelids. It was girls that would give me a hug and smile at me and like pause for a little bit more of a moment. And that was like, oh, maybe she likes me. And I was like, oh, and she's cute. And you're like, huh, maybe. And then you start to like daydream, you know, all the things. So,
I mean, keep in mind, this is also one in our 20s too. Yeah. So
the reality is, I think I've had a lot of dating experience, a lot of short-term dating experience. So I was the type of person growing up that I'd be very spiritual. And mm-hmm. my mom, it was just as toxic as Joshua Harris. And I should be careful because I love my mom and, you know, she's amazing. But she would say like, you just need to focus on Jesus. And like, that's really good. But it planted that in my mind that like any relationship I had to be in had to be exactly what Christ ordained. And it couldn't be like any variety of, you know, when I was saying nuance, I know that the devil is in the details. So mm-hmm. I want to be careful. But I also think that the ability to be able to kind of demystify the dating experience and to make it just a more basic man and woman type of thing. And that's what we eventually had to do. And we got much older and it took us to get older to get to that point. But for me, I would always, oh, well, like, you know, I'd pray and pray and pray about mm-hmm. the woman and like the girl, I guess at that time. And I would break up mm-hmm. and I'd date a week and I'd break up or 2 weeks, I'd break up with different girls. And I would be like, well, it's not the one, you know, and the one. It's a whole other thing.
Hold up. For context, you grew up in an Assemblies of God church?
Yeah. First, okay. I grew up non-denominational, but mm-hmm. then Assemblies of God. So Pentecostal, grew up very like foundational. My father's a first-generation Christian. My mom mm-hmm. was a little bit more evangelical, would pray and sing in tongues, washing dishes and things like that. And so I had a little bit of my dad being a little bit more conservative and scripture-based. And then mm-hmm. my mom, also very, very scripture-based, but a little bit more free mm-hmm. And spiritual, if you will. But yeah, my mom would very much so encourage me not to get distracted with girls. So I definitely kept myself in a very like anything that would happen, I would over-spiritualize it and like mm-hmm. say that like I was praying and I saw myself hug her and that's the person who I'm supposed to be with. And then I was praying and like it felt like the Lord telling me to be closer to him and to let go of all connections. And then I broke up with her, not realizing when people over spiritualize a relationship, and relationships are super important, but the people who would say like, I prayed and God spoke to me and said, I'm going to marry, you know, this person. Well, maybe God would have said this, this, and this first. Like if you are only hearing God say that for a person, maybe it's more of the emotions and the complexity of what your mind can create other than what God is really saying.
In your 20s is so different than once you turn 30. Mm-hmm. I feel like once you turn 30, just things, even your mindset is completely mm-hmm. different. Like how you were saying earlier, that sometimes we over-spiritualize relationships, and I can definitely say that was my issue. So my first relationship I had was in Romania, and I can definitely say it was over-spiritualized. We were friends, and then even before we got together, I prayed and I fasted, Lord, if he's not the one, and again, the word of the one, then, you know, I pray that, you know, and I put these signs on, and if he is the one, then these other signs, which were completely out of my character, the ones that supposedly he's the one for me, quote unquote, came to pass. And so I went ahead, even though if I sat down and actually thought about it, this guy did not follow the Lord as he should. Mm. I definitely had that kind of, oh, well, I can fix him. Mm. Oh, well, you know, he'll be saved through this, you know, because he's Christian, but he's not where he should be. And people who would have a word would come to me and encourage me to continue in the relationship. And that was very toxic. Mm. And that ended badly. And for a long time, I had issues not only trusting other men, but also trusting myself in my faith in God. Not trusting that he is there. I knew he was there, but more like the communication of it. Because, and I do think it is from that mindset of, you know, let God write your love story and all that, because we over-spiritualize, oh, Lord, is this guy the one? Oh, I have to go to a prophet to pray. And sometimes it's kind of like, look before you, does this person genuinely love the Lord? For us as women to look at men and say, does he have, you know, a job in which he is diligent and he's working, because he has to be the breadwinner? A man who does not supply for his family is worse than an unbeliever. And even for men, you know, does she genuinely love the Lord? Is she someone who would be able to be submissive as a wife and to want to care for her home? Because the truth is, even though we're in a very modern society, a wife and a mother's first responsibility is to be a good steward of her home. If she's not in line with you on that aspect, then, you know, you can pray all you want. And just as Joshua said, a lot of times it could be your emotions that is dictating what you, quote unquote, believe are hearing from God. Mm. So I think that is definitely an effect of the purity culture, I would say. So there's a difference when you do, we'll jump into this with online dating, the mystery of, oh, is he interested? Is she interested? Is out the window, because the moment that you match, obviously you guys are attracted to each other. You're on a dating app. Obviously you want to date. The point is you're not there to be friends or buddy-buddy, even though there are people who will be on there just to chat with you all day and not go further. But the point is, hey, I want to pursue a relationship, not just a friendship. There are friendship apps. We can go on that.
Yeah. Well, I think that it's not necessarily exactly true that you're 100% compatible if you match. And I think it's just a facilitation of matching and making the connection to be able to make something more. And Ruth here to my side said earlier that she would never want to be on a dating app. And that was my mindset too. I'm very idealistic. I wanted to meet somebody at my local church community. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be beautiful. And I thought, like, even if I had to mix it up a bit, you know, go to a Romanian church, you know, that type of thing. I definitely wanted to find somebody who was of traditional values, and they would be my only person and I would be their only person.
Well, that's also when we matched, like our first full-on conversation, we brought everything to the table. Mm-hmm. It's the fact, hey, my end goal is to find someone to marry. I'm not here to date. I'm not here to waste time. And he said the same thing.
Hold on. So before we jump into this, so we can just backpedal a little bit, what led you guys to make the decision to go online in the first place? And how long were you guys online dating before you met each other?
Yeah, so I was actually on online dating for a long time. Back when like Christian Mingle came out, I think it would have been around like 2000,
I remember those commercials.
It would have been like 2010, like a long time. I very much so would go on, and the same way, I'd pray about it, feel convicted, be like, no, I'm not going to be on this. I'm going to, you know, just give myself to Jesus. I'm going to be single. But I just got to a point where I really, really wanted to be with somebody. And it was like I had to drop the idealism, the idealistic mindset I had, where it was like I wanted, if I can say it, I wanted like a brown hair, brown eyes, athletic build, olive skin tone, had to be at least 5, you know, 4 probably. And then I want her to compete but not be too competitive. I want her to be spiritual but not crazy, you know, like all the things that you really want. And you just build up the idealistic mindset of certain people say make a list. Some people say don't make a list. I don't know if it matters one way or another, but you can just spend your whole life being single. And then I was getting to that point where I was like looking at my friends, and it helped to have older friends. So I saw friends that were, you know, 40, over 40, and they're still single. And they would dream about being with someone, and they would still talk like, well, one day, you know, when I meet somebody and then we have a family. And then you look at them and you're like, you're going to be not able to do all that. And you just have to see that. Mm. And to be able to tell them that, like to say, like, realistically, you're this age. You can't have that many children. You can't, you're not 20. You know, you're not 25, you're not whatever you are. And then to take that criticism myself and just basically being realistic and saying, okay, I'm looking for someone who is stable, who is attractive, who has a faith foundation, looking at a good family foundation and faith foundation. So for me, it's just like losing a little bit of the idealistic and becoming more realistic. Finding someone who I would build a life with that I could trust, that, you know, I think both of us had been cheated on. So finding someone who I would know that is going to be a dependable partner. Like I've had relationships where it was like that fire of like conflict and spark was there, but then it just doesn't make a good life and home environment. And that was one thing I told Elizabeth earlier on. I don't know what your opinion is, but my opinion is that our life, our relationship would be something that is stable. Like, I don't want to come home and fight. I want this to be my safe place, my refuge, where it's not any of the, you know, provocative, crazy allure of which might be sparky and exciting, but then is also terribly traumatic. I think I'm continuing to go on, so I'll stop.
Yeah, so I guess, well, you've been on, and you started with the websites before even dating apps started.
Yeah.
So I remember my brother would ask me, he's like, oh, would you go on eHarmony? I'd be so insulted. I'd be like, what? How could you say that? But then, you know, I come back from Romania in 2020 and pandemic, how do you meet someone? You know, all of the friends that I knew moved out of state or got married and whatnot. And so a high school friend told me, she's like, hey, do you want to go? You can go on a dating app, meet someone. And so I was like, why not? I'll give it a try. So I went on Bumble, and I was on that for a year before I met Joshua. So I had a lot of very interesting dates, very bad dates. I've been ghosted. I've been catfished. I've experienced all of it. But it's honestly, I look back at it and I laugh about it. It's really, it's an entertaining time of my life, that 1 year of going on dates. And then also, I think, especially for women, it is an ego boost. Mm-hmm. Because you're seeing all these guys that are attracted to you and want to date you, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I feel good. Like, I feel good about myself. All right, you know. Uh-huh. So sometimes you need that, but it can go down the vein of you becoming more of a narcissist and it being a game. Mm. Oh, well, you know, who's this? Or, oh, he's cute. Oh, what about? And then you're shopping. If you go with the intention, you know, being very intentional. Hey, you put on your profile, you're a Christian, you're looking for a Christian guy. I mean, you don't have to put on your profile, I'm looking for marriage, because that's like really out there. But just, you know, I'm Christian, I'm looking for someone with the same faith base. And then get to know the person. But I've had situations I've matched with Romanian Protestant guys, like Pentecostal guys, mm-hmm. on the app, and they didn't go more, like, farther than just texting. I was like, I don't need a pen pal. Next. I'm very cutthroat about that, because I was 32 at the time, turning 33, in a situation where obviously I was taking care of my mom, seeing life is very short. I'm not wasting time, mm-hmm. you know, but like, I would encourage other friends to get on, you know, the dating app. And within a week they matched with their now husband.
Wow.
So we have a lot of friends who have matched, you know, got to know each other from either Bumble or Hinge, and they're Christian, mm-hmm. and they're married to those spouses, to those people they've matched with. So there is a high success rate, but you have to be intentional in how you do it.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I found out too is, like I was saying before, and I don't want to sound super repetitive, but I had to demystify it as well. And I looked up to one of the couples in the church. It was Josh and Becky Wheeler, but he was pursuing this woman before they got married. And he just said, you know what? I look, there's a godly woman. She's attractive. I'm single. We'll pray together. We'll pursue each other and we'll have a relationship together. And I was just like, what? Like, you could just do that? You don't have to like pray and like get the approval of God to like come down from heaven and to like knight thee worthy of dating, you know? Like, it's it just made sense. And like the conviction of simplicity that he held was like, that's the man I want to be. I want to be that man. And it's just like, okay, here's a woman, loves Jesus. She looks like she's serious about pursuing a relationship. Okay, what things do we agree on? And we just went through a list and like, what things do we disagree on? Okay, well, there's only like one or two things, one in particular that I can think of off the top of my head, which was wanting to have children, where I'm not going to continue a relationship with you. If this is your opinion, then we'll just go our separate ways, because I'm adamant about I want to have a family.
Mm-hmm. For the listeners, I am very pregnant right now. So it obviously worked.
Yes.
Obviously worked.
Do you think sometimes rationalism is a response to maybe like the Pentecostal to spiritual side? You know, sometimes I feel like if we're one way and we want to change, we like completely pivot. You know what I mean? But I do believe that there is a God component in it too. Like, it's not about being idealistic. It's about being faithful. Because like, if God has kept someone not married for whatever time, it may be because they had to do God's work. You know, we take that out of the equation. Because even Paul says, it was easier for him to do ministry without a partner, you know, for whatever time that, I mean, for his whole life up with Paul. But
I completely agree. While you're single, don't be idle.
Yeah.
You know, don't be selfish. Use that time to serve. Because when you're a couple, when you're going to have a family, you're not going to be able to serve in the same capacity. Things will be different. So
I also don't want listeners to become very, because there's a lot of people do obsess over marriage and over, they do make it an idol and they do look at the evidence and they're like, it's too late for me. And it's like all the evidence trumps whatever God wants for them. And sometimes you can create an Ishmael. Because you're not willing to wait. And obviously, it's not in every case, but there's been cases like that where it's like we get to the point where like, I got to get married. It's better to be in God's will. And I think there will be an urgency when God wants there to be an urgency, both on the men and the women side.
So what do you do then? Do you not give people chances, you in general, I'm saying, mm-hmm. not give people chances, not go on a date because, oh, well, you know, you're not putting yourself out there. So you won't go on a date because, oh, I have to spiritualize this in some way. But it's like, well, until you actually make an effort to allow yourself to be a little vulnerable to date someone, then you'll find out, hey, does it work out? Like, does this man or this woman love God? I do want to apologize. I am a little congested. Just so.
You're fine. You're totally fine.
But, you know, if you don't make that effort and you kind of, you know, we have to do our parts too. God does his part. You have to do your part.
Yeah.
So, you know, get to know people. Mm-hmm. Go on dates. I think that's okay. Don't just jump on a relationship just because, oh my goodness, he's the only Romanian guy that is talking to me, or he's the only what? No, like there has to be, even with Joshua and I mean, we had our dating period was really short. Mm-hmm. We were together, what, two months?
3 months.
3 months before he proposed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then the engagement was 5 months. But we we're able to kind of understand the person's personality, their temperament, which I think is a huge thing. And I wanted to see if he was genuine. He wanted to see if I was genuine in our walk with Christ. And so you make a cerebral decision too, you know, seeing the facts, but also you do go through it prayerfully. Like how Joshua said earlier, that little conflict we had, it was a subject we brought came up in prayer, and God was able to move both of our hearts to come into him, to compromise.
Yeah.
And that was a huge sign for me, is the fact that not only I was able to have a heart to compromise, but he did as well. So like you have to, I think, combine it. But if you're going to just sit back and be like, oh, well, you know, Lord has someone out there for me, and just sit in your corner and not communicate with people of the opposite sex, then.
Yeah. Like, so
I also do believe, and I like how you put the emphasis, there is an initiation that has to happen, and it does have to be from the male side. You know, I can, as a girl, I'm not going to go like try to make things happen. Like if somebody approaches me, you know, I will give them a chance. I'll talk to them, you know what I mean? But I'm not, there's a difference between guys and girls.
It's this idea of the man becoming a man and pursuing the woman. And I didn't really think about it too much because I lived in that adolescent state for a long time too. And that's a very negative thing to say about myself, but I very much so was. Mm. And to a point where I was that American or Romanian guy that Elizabeth is speaking of, which was seeing if a woman liked me before I would express my interest. Mm. And that's like super sad, but it was the way I was. And that's less masculine than I'd care to admit that I was. But coming to a point where you're confident, not only in yourself, but you're confident in who you are in Christ. And then you utilize the fact that it's not inappropriate to see if someone would be interested in going out with you. And it's not sexual, it's not sinful, it's not shameful, it's perfectly admirable to ask a woman out and to just be upfront about it, not to be creepy or not to be weird or not to be clunky, that you look awkward, but to gracefully try to pursue a woman or to see if you would invest in pursuing a woman.
But even like for a girl who was going to flirt, being friendly, being attentive, and then pay attention if the guy is responding, you know, because if you're going to be intimidating, that's not going to help, you know? And I say this because I can be very intimidating, and I have been told that I am intimidating. Now I laugh about it because I'm married, so I don't care. But that's why I'm saying, so it'd be good for girls to be friendly, to be a little flirtatious in a way, like not in an inappropriate way, just as Joshua said, not in a sinful way, but just to give a guy an understanding that you at least like him as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to show that, oh my goodness, I'm so attracted to you and you are amazing. No, just you enjoy their company. And then if the guy has enough courage to do something about it, you know, I 100% agree. That's the guy's move. Yeah. I really do think a guy should.
You drop the hanky, so to speak.
Yeah.
Drop the hanky. Oh, I literally did that.
There's something.
There's a social media. There's Heart for Dating.
Heart of Dating.
Heart of Dating. Yeah. And I quote unquote dropped the hanky. I was on that program and I did have like hundreds of girls message me.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm surprised that's not how Elizabeth and I met. So
well, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I never knew
that. I literally was on that. Yeah.
This is crazy.
And I actually had the woman who's in charge of that contact me because she saw another like Kelly's Corner Christian Singles or something that I did from this woman in Texas. And I paid $5 and put my profile up and had a few girls message me. And she saw I was on that and then asked me if I'd want to, you know, the drop the hanky idea, like be on that. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. But you stayed single out of that one.
I stayed single. I actually went on a few dates. I went on a date with a girl in Florida and a date, two dates with a girl in Texas, but didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And
well, okay, this is funny because I did hear, so we know that JP Pokluta from Outdated, he also did his own version of that. And I have a friend who, his friend was put together with his wife, his now wife, at that thing. Basically, JP Pokluta arranged their marriage. And then they all had a retreat back at JP's house where they got to meet and they brought their friends. I'm laughing. This is both fantastic and
Yeah, I was very open to meeting someone however I wanted, or however it would work. And like, I didn't want to stop God from making things happen. And the idea was, hey, I've been single for so long. Obviously, I'm not doing something right. But yes, I think what Ruth said earlier is that we do preoccupy our minds with marriage so much. It's not healthy. Mm. And I had a friend say that to me one time. He said, is that the goal? Marriage? Mm. And it's like, that's the goal of life? Or is it to know and love Christ and to make him known?
Amen.
And I thought about that and I was like, wow, that's deep. But then I thought, I really want to be married. So, but I told Elizabeth so many times, wow, I'm so happy that like we're together and that I just don't have to ever think about dating ever again. And that's the beauty of marriage too. It's like you get to date your wife, but it's like the beautiful thing is you don't have to prove yourself every time to this mysterious person that you're not a creepy stalker guy who's going to do something weird and that you love Jesus and that you love people and that you can be compassionate and kind. And you have to like try to show that over and over and over again. And then you have to pay for the dinner. And if you're nice, you do think of a creative idea for dating that would, you know, woo the woman enough that she would think you're a creative guy and that you're artistic and yet well off enough that you can afford to do what you've done. You know, like all the things you
this
have to.
This sounds so complicated.
Well,
it's true. He's not wrong.
That is the dating world. For sure, there is a lot of pressure.
And that was one of the things that I wanted to mention earlier when we were talking about Elizabeth's pressures and when she moved to Romania and the complexities of guys is I went back to college 2014, and I remember reading an article about men and the generation, and I don't know if it was from Bloomberg or somewhere else, but I showed my teacher, and I said, like, this is the thing. She was a sociology teacher. I said, this is the thing that men are dealing with, is that they're darned if they do and they're darned if they don't. So it was one of those things where I really realized we were really trapped. It was like, if you pursue a woman, you're a chauvinistic patriarch and you're too aggressive. And if you do not pursue a woman, then you're not a man and you're pathetic and you do not have the skills that you need to survive. So it was like, what do I do? And you were like in this terrible, you know, it was like the dichotomy again, where
honestly,
you're
stuck. That is the only issue. Like, I think only English speaking countries have that issue. Because Romania, no issue on that.
Right.
Germans, no issue on that. Yeah. French, no. Like every other country, like I think European countries, because Asian is different.
We could say westernized countries.
No.
Western aligned countries.
I think she's trying to say this is a distinctly American issue.
Because even the English, Canadian. I think, the English are just as like, and Canadian. So English speaking countries, I think, are a little bit more, the men are more, you know, careful and... But no, I was just walking down the streets of Paris, a Frenchman would approach me, you know?
Seriously?
Like, yeah. just approach you. Germany,
she's just
the same.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm like rolling my eyes right now. But no, it's just they are, if they are interested, they will make the effort and approach you. It doesn't matter, you know? If they like you.
That's super refreshing because it's like honest. It's the way, it's kind of like the natural way of just, you know, man and woman. And then, boom, that's what it is. There can definitely be that instinctual desire inside of men that like you want to make sure the guy's not like a massive flirt. But at the same time, it is just putting yourself out there saying, hey, like you're a beautiful woman. Let's go out. Like,
as we kind of come into the end of our show, can we talk a little bit like what tips would you guys have for someone who's interested in going online and starting that process? What are some things you would say, hey, look, do this, don't do that. This is what the mindset you should have, or this is the mindset that you should have going into it. And then, you know, I'd also want to talk about just things you'd leave the listener with in terms of just food for thought.
So I would say, one, what is the purpose of you wanting to date? Mm-hmm. Because if you want to date just to date, I mean, I don't think that's a really Christian thing to do, to be honest. You're wasting your time. You're wasting the person's time. You're wasting other people's emotions. It's a very selfish act to do. The purpose of dating is marriage. Amen. And that is whether it is finding someone online or at the church. If you're going to pursue someone to date, so 15-year-olds, maybe you shouldn't go dating because you're not ready to get married.
Preach.
But if you're in your 20s, if you know, you're done with college, actually, young men, if you are done with college, why aren't you pursuing someone?
Exactly.
Like, exactly. Why aren't you trying to find someone and date? What is the point of staying single for so long?
Trying to find the perfect person.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no such thing.
Well, it could be that, but I've also heard guys say that they just want to get to a certain financial stability, level of financial stability
before they do that. You can do that so much better if you're married.
Statistically, as you would say, they actually make more money. Men make more money when they're married.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It puts you in a different mindset too, where you're the provider. And I think that there are many more successful men than me. I don't pretend to be that person. Like, I just think marriage solves a lot of things. And it's so frustrating because I think that we like to toy with it so that it's always like, oh, I could be with this person. Oh, I could be with who? I'm a bachelor. I could be with whoever. And I think that is something, like, I'm a huge advocate of marriage because I'm married now, and it's such a blessing.
And we've been single for so long. Mm-hmm. So we know what it was like to be single.
And I know what it's like to be single and not date anybody for 7 years. Yeah, I think I came on this program to say get married. No.
Loud and clear. We heard it.
Yeah.
I do agree with you. And the thing is this, and I know any comments, like, if I push back on anything, it doesn't mean that I don't believe in marriage, because I do, and I want to be married. But what I want to say is, depends how obsessed you were to get married. If you were obsessed with getting married, then yes, marriage, and that was your primary thing that literally consumed you. Like, that was, then yes, marriage, you're right, would solve a lot of your, but there's a way to wait well, where you are waiting, you're actively waiting. Like, I'm actively waiting to be married too. Have I been consumed by, yes, sometimes, you know what I mean? It, don't get me wrong, I've suffered, quote unquote, for it too. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm just so consumed by it that it's like marriage is going to solve everything. There's some people listening to the show where marriage will not solve you. It will not. There's things that God wants you to work on. There's things that God wants you and him to work on that marriage will not solve. There's a lot of people going into marriages and then we see divorces 2 years later because there isn't a readiness. And everybody's telling them, go get married. Their families are like, you have a lust problem. You have a pornography problem. Go get married. That will fix everything.
It definitely doesn't, and I'll say that. No,
because they will continue on after.
Yeah, but like the thing is bringing someone who you can communicate with, and even if you're not perfect, because you can't, nobody's, just like children, nobody's ever ready. Marriage, it's like nobody's ever ready. The reality is you do want to become a man, like we were saying at the beginning of this conversation, is like the childhood problem and the adolescent problem. And I definitely had been, you know, a part of that in the past, but I think that the ability to become a man becomes more of an opportunity when you're married as well. And honestly, the same mindset you bring into something everywhere you go is going to be the mindset that you're going to bring into marriage, into whatever. But the reality is it's another challenge. And it's like, if your idea is to serve God and you failed in the past, but your idea is to serve God, like, you're going to bring that into marriage too. And you're going to continue to pursue, and you're going to fall. You're not going to be perfect, and I can tell you I've not been perfect, but you're also going to get up and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. And I thank you that I have an opportunity because of your blood that was spilled for me, and that I can go forth and I can allow myself to be changed by you. And I wish I would have never struggled with this after marriage, but the beauty of it is you still have your grace for me, and that tomorrow's a new day, today's a new day. I don't have to walk as I did in the past, or in even the idea of the lustful self or anything. You can walk in a way that honors him.
And I agree with you on not being obsessive, because I would say in my early 20s, yes, I was very much a romantic. I would read the Christian romance novels and all this stuff and romanticize things. But later on, it was very much, I am okay being alone. Joshua the same. He's like, I'm okay being alone. I'd rather be alone than to be with someone that I'm miserable with.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'd rather be alone than to have someone who's abusive, who will leave me, who will speak abusive words to me. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing. I would provoke arguments with him to see if he will call me names out of anger.
Mm-hmm. Because while you guys were dating.
While we were dating. because I wouldn't want that in a husband. Yeah. And something that Joshua initiated was that to have a marriage in which we served one another.
Yeah.
So that's how we came into the marriage.
There's a lot of conversation about being served or serving. And some people say, well, you give 50%, you give 50%, make it 100%. It's like you give essentially 100%. The other person gives essentially 100%. The reality is, like, if my mindset is I really want to serve a woman in marriage that's my wife, then that's going to be the mindset that's going to keep the marriage working. Because if my mindset is I want to be served, then that would not work out well, because there's lots of times where she hasn't served me the way I want to be served, and I haven't served her the way she wants to be served. So it's like the idea is our mindset isn't in fulfillment, it's in serving. And that is like how Christ would have us do when you're single.
So it kind of goes back to making that cerebral decision. Look at the facts. Look what's before you. And seeing, does this person, because if you're going to be selfish in the relationship, or you're going to see that person as selfish as well, don't expect that relationship to go really well into the marriage. Don't go into a relationship trying to fix someone or thinking that they'll fix you. You have to take them the way that they are, you know? So again, I 100% agree with you. I'd rather have been single the rest of my life than to be just married just for the sake of being married and being miserable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So
to your point earlier, there's a great book that I just finished reading. It's called The Toxic War on Masculinity by Nancy Piercy. I think it's a wonderful example of basically her premise is masculinity as it is today is being opposed as God created it, as God intended it to be. And one of the points she does make in the book is that men are at their most masculine when they are able to live out that Christ sacrifice in family, in them being husbands, in them being fathers. She writes about it really well. If anyone wants to read it, I would highly, highly recommend it. And I'll post it in the show notes. Nice. But as we wrap up, are there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave the people who are listening with, some things for them to mull over?
I've been thinking a little bit more about how difficult it is for women more recently. And I've heard women speak about this with the advent of women being in the workforce and bearing children still, and this whole idea of what they're to do, because the complication used to be, from what I could perceive, mostly be towards men. But now I've started to understand the woman's perspective a little bit more. And it's not necessarily because of Elizabeth. It's because I listen to a lot of podcasts and I like to learn. And I've heard women speak about how difficult it is for them because of the fact that they're told to get out there in the workforce. And to be satisfied, you have to get a career. And a lot of them are either finding some minor success in that and then finding that they're not as fulfilled as they realized, or they're just trying to understand exactly what cost benefit analysis do they have to run to see, like, how much do they have to invest in their career versus if they're with somebody versus having children versus exiting the workforce for children, where that all is. And this whole like boss babe type of mentality where it's like you want to slay queen, you know, like whatever it is, like it's like, no, I definitely think it is difficult for women, and you have to, I think, probably do some of the same things that I did as a man, where you have to give it to God and really kind of come back with his divine organized idea for family, for faith, for relationship and marriage, and give it to him and let him rework what it looks like, because this culture is going to tell you what it does. And just like when we were single, everything's right and everything's wrong at the same time. There's plenty of fish in the sea. You'll find the person when you're not looking. You just need to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You'll find the person. You know, it's like all the things contradict each other, and they're all true at different times or not true at different times. So it's like yes and also no. So that's the complication. Yeah. And for women, very much so as well. So I think that to give it to God and to let good, wise counsel around you, and this is one of the things Elizabeth wants to do, is she wants to be able to disciple and to be discipled by women who've went through it and then women who don't know what's going on, to say like, hey, this is what I went through. Like, this is my life experience. Let me come alongside you and lead you in wise ways.
Yeah. So I guess I've got to do a little plug now. That's why we had decided beginning of to start a YouTube podcast kind of talking about relationship, basically Christian dating and modernity, because it is very, very different. And I think it is difficult, but and not only, I guess our demographic is also very much not just the Romanian subculture, it's actually people in their later years and also mixed couples, because I'm Romanian, he's American, but he has a lot of different nationalities in his background and his heritage, and how we are able to make that work, because there are a lot of couples out there as well who, you know, maybe we have a lot of friends who are mixed, like Romanian and American and all that, and it works, you know, and how you're able to do that and how to have a healthy relationship with that, because it could also be an unhealthy relationship if one or the other is very selfish. But I 100% agree with Joshua of the fact that if Christ is not in the center of it all, it doesn't matter what stage or what is your marital status, it doesn't matter, then it's all mute. So if you are not serving while you are single, then that will reflect your marriage and how you will be with your children. If you're selfish when you are single, you will be selfish in marriage and as a parent. So if you're not willing to seek God first and foremost, and just constantly, like as you said, Ruth, keep yourself in check with him to see, hey, where is your heart in all this? Then in your pursuit of a relationship, or even just, you know, being a woman, you're like, well, I can't pursue, all right, being open to a relationship, you will kind of analyze things differently, because you'll see the guy and you'll think, all right, he is a genuine Christian. It's not just that he's up there singing at the worship team and appears to be Christian, but then he has vulgar jokes after. You see his genuine heart for Christ. And then for men who are going to do the pursuit, and I hope that these men do actively pursue women and not be afraid or intimidated to pursue a woman who loves Christ. Because if you see her character and she genuinely pursues Christ, she's not going to dishonor you. And even if she rejects you, it will be in a very gentle way, because this woman supposedly should love Christ and she sees you as a brother in Christ. So I think, like, I want to encourage people in their 20s and 30s to, if you would like to have a partnership with someone in life, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. If you don't, if you just, because there was a period I didn't want to date and I didn't, then use that time diligently to seek God, to serve God. And don't squander that time, because time is very, very short.
And if I can add one other thing that I think is going to agree with, like, kind of all of us, is this idea of David is like to have a soft heart before God and to have tough skin. So a lot of people have soft skin and a tough heart, but you want to have a soft heart and a tough skin. So like when you said, what do we call you? And I said, I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. Like, I want to try to have, like, not be offended. And that's a scripture too, to not be easily offended, but then to also be moved by the heart of God, like David was. And David really got the heartbeat of God. And what was his name was a man after God's own heart. And I think if you're a man after God's own heart, then that's where you're moved by God. And that's where, like, if you're going to be convicted if you say something nasty to your wife, if you say something nasty to a coworker, or if you even start to say negative things towards yourself. And it's really to keep that in check, and no matter what you're doing, to try to have that soft heart before God. And that's what's really helped me, is I try not to make too many mistakes. And I will say, Elizabeth and I, our relationship actually works pretty, pretty well. And it's a blessing that we do not have much conflict at all. But whatever we do, I try to have a soft heart. So that, like, if she says something, I don't just snap at her and come back at her. It's actually listen to her and like think about it, pray about it, let it kind of turn around a bit and see if what she's saying makes sense, and consider it. So I think that that's what we could add to the conversation.
Yeah, I definitely encourage first and foremost men, but also women. But I think first and foremost men to practice consulting with the Holy Spirit, because when you do have those conflicts, for you to be able to go aside and to consult with the Lord, and the Lord will either, you know, change the heart of your wife or change your heart so that you guys can be more
or
united.
Change both your hearts.
Too. Or change both of it to be in a different direction that you guys expected. So if you guys are open to that, you know, so again, these are things you practice in your singlehood.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a great word. Ruth, do you have anything to close on?
You know how you said, Joshua, you said something about men can't win? Something about...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like you can't win. You're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. Right. Whether you pursue the woman or whether you sit back.
So I think this has to do... I want to bring that back to like the opinion on waiting well. If you encourage people to wait well, people say, oh, you're fine with being single all your life. But that's not true. It just means that there is a way to wait well. And you can wait expectantly. You can wait and be expectant at the same time. You can be patient and expectant. Sometimes we think, well, if I'm patient, God's going to forget about me. I don't think that's what you can be patient. You can trust the Lord, but you can also trust. If you trust him, you know he has good for you. It doesn't mean that you don't want to get married. It just means that you trust that he has good for you. And this can be at any age. It can be, I'm older, some people are younger. God's power doesn't diminish based on time. And many times we say or we think the world works a certain way. God works within the confines of how the world works. And he does. Like, I'm definitely not saying he doesn't. But I also think that he has ways of doing things and appointed times for everything that are sometimes beyond the understanding that we have. And I don't think that this is not over spiritualizing, idealizing, like we were mentioning before. I think in closing, just because you wait well doesn't mean God's going to forget about you. Doesn't mean that you don't want to get married. I think sometimes we have blanket judgments that we make of people. And I would say before we do that, let's ask the Lord and what he wants. You know what I mean? I think God can help us see. Everything that we do has to be in relationship with him. He speaks. He's the one that corrects us. Even while you're single, you may not have a husband that maybe knows you intimately and can correct you. But the Holy Spirit is closer to you than anyone else. He's the one that can mold your character. He's the one that can correct you. He's the one that can speak to you. It says that he's the comforter. If you're alone and you think the only way I'm not going to be alone is if I get married, it says the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. So never diminish the role of the Holy Spirit in your life for the role of a human, because you're going to get married and you're going to realize if your safe place is not the Lord, you're going to realize you're going to be very disappointed and you're going to be your expectations will not be met. No matter how good your relationship is, even I'm sure you guys can say, well, I thought he was completely like this or she was completely like that. And like, we all don't measure up. Like, we want glory, but it's hard for us to attain that here. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very dangerous to idolize. And that's the thing. If you idolize your spouse or your boyfriend or the idea of a relationship. So that's where you're going towards is the fact that if you focus that your number one comforter and closest friend is the Holy Spirit, then that helps you to understand that Joshua's not the perfect man and that, oh my goodness, if he messes up, my life is destroyed. And
So Joshua and Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to talk to both of you guys and to get your perspectives on dating, on married life, and the whole process in between. So we really appreciate you. How can people find you? So I understand your YouTube channel is called The Cashmere Couple. We'll link that in the show notes. Other ways that they could find you?
Yeah, so we built a website thecashmerecouple.com.
Where all our podcasts are there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also we have our podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on, was it YouTube?
Apple.
And Apple Podcasts.
We have our YouTube channel. Yeah.
And
Instagram.
And we've only done a few, but we're looking forward to doing more in the future. And we're super excited to have a baby joining us soon.
Yay.
So yeah, that's such a huge blessing.
Congrats.
So, yeah.
He'll make his debut in there soon.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, I would encourage everyone to go and take a listen. And then for those of you who enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give a shout out on our YouTube page, and buy a mug, timeforthesoul.co. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, reach out to us at contact@timeforthesoul.co. And until next time, we'll see ya. Bye-bye.